Chapter 23, Removal to Rochester. April 1852. We moved to Rochester, New York, under most discouraging circumstances. We had not money enough to pay the freight on the few things that we had to move by railroad, and were obliged to move out by faith. I will give a few extracts of a letter to Brother Howland's family dated April 16, 1852. We are just getting settled here in Rochester. We have rented an old house for $175 a year. We have the press in the house. Were it not for this, we should have to pay $50 a year for office room. You would smile could you look in upon us and see our furniture. We have bought two old bedsteads for 25 cents each. My husband brought me home six old mismatched chairs, for which he paid $1, and soon he presented me with four more old chairs without any seating, paid 62 cents for the lot. The frames were strong, and I have been seating them with drilling. Butter is so high we could not purchase it, neither can we afford potatoes. We use sauce in the place of butter and turnips for potatoes. The cherry sauce was provided for us by Sister Harris. We are willing to endure privations if the work of God can be advanced. We believe the Lord's hand was in our coming to this place. There is a large field for labor and but few laborers. May the Lord help us that we may move just right while here. We are earnestly striving to draw nearer to God and to have our wills in subjection to the divine will. We know that the Lord wants us to be living examples. Then can we enjoy the light of His countenance. Last Sabbath our meeting was excellent. The Lord refreshed us with His presence. May the Lord prosper you and the church in your place. Rely wholly upon the sure promises of God. Soon after our family became settled in Rochester, we received a letter from my mother informing us of the dangerous illness of my brother Robert, who lived with my parents in Gorham, Maine. Wrong influences had affected him and separated him in faith from us. He became bewildered as to our position and was unwilling to listen to any evidence in favor of the third message. He did not oppose, but entirely evaded the matter. This caused us many sad hours. When the news of his sickness reached us, my sister Sarah decided to go immediately to Gorham. To all appearance, my brother could live but a few days. Yet contrary to the expectations of all, he lingered 6 months, a great sufferer. My sister faithfully watched over him until the last. As soon as he was afflicted, his voice was often heard pleading with God for the light of his countenance, and upon his sickbed he weighed the evidences of our position and fully embraced the third message. He grieved that he had not looked into the subject before, and would frequently exclaim, "How plain, how clear that there must be a third message as well as a first and a second." And he would say, "The third angel followed them, the two former. It is all plain now. I have deprived myself of many blessings that I might have enjoyed. I thought James and Ellen were in error. I have felt wrong towards them and want to see them once more." My brother seemed to be ripening for heaven. He took no interest in worldly matters and felt grieved when any conversation, except that of a religious character, was introduced into his room. He seemed to be holding communion with God daily, and to regard every moment as very precious to be spent in preparing for his last change.